Welcome to the audiobook of A Walk Up the Hill, written by Madhav Gadgil, narrated by Anuj Datta. Chapter 1, Beginnings. Sing a song of bee eaters, father and son, mom and little sisters, all full of fun. As the chicks grow up and take to the wing, the jolly clan will sally forth and merrily begin to tring. I was born in Pune in 1942, the year Mahatma Gandhi asked the British to quit India, and a year after Saleem Ali's superbly illustrated Book of Indian Birds was first published. Saleem Ali was a friend of my Baba, father, Dhanarajya Ramachandra Gadgil, and Baba constantly referred to his book as he introduced me to the rich variety of birds that were still very much around us in those pre-pesticide days. Equipped with a pair of binoculars, he often took me along on his walks in the nearby Vetal Hills and familiarized me with the larks and pipits, bulbuls and babblers, quails and partridges, hawks and falcons and many other kinds of birds as we encountered them. In the process, I became passionately interested in the diversity of the natural world, of the landscapes, and the life they supported. I was the youngest of four siblings. My eldest brother, Ajit, was born in 1928, my sister, Sulabha, in 1932, and Purushottam in 1936. So, there was a considerable age gap between me and my siblings, and somehow, they played little role in my life. I was the only one who shared my father's passion for bird watching and for reading widely. Our library at home had a collection of over 2,000 books in English and 1,000 in Marathi, besides around 50 in Sanskrit from my grandfather's collection. We also subscribed to several Marathi and English periodicals, which would be carefully bound each year and added to the library. I made full use of this library, discussing the books I read with my father and getting his suggestions on which ones to read next. Very early, I discovered that I was able to grasp whatever I was reading with far greater facility than my fellow students. At the age of 10, I read through the Marathi translation of Plato's Republic. My elder sister, then in her BA class, said that I could not have possibly understood what I was reading. I challenged her and told her to ask me any questions about what was in the book, and I was sure that I would answer her correctly. She left it at that. I did not need to spend much time on my formal studies to score well in the examinations, and read and grasped widely, far beyond what was being taught at school or later at college. I was curious about and read not only what was already in our library, but much beyond that. Baba had an account with the International Bookstore not far from our house, and I was free to go over there, pick up any book I fancied, and buy it on Baba's account. That is how I picked up and read through Penguin Science News and New Biology, and became well read in branches of science that were never covered in our BSc syllabus. Along with the fascination for birds and other creatures great and small, Baba inspired in me an interest in our people, their cultures and livelihood patterns. Both my father and mother and our next-door neighbor, Iravati Karve, our Iru Kaku, or aunt, were free of any religious, caste, or class prejudices and believed in equality among human beings. Baba was a socially committed economist who strove to apply his knowledge and abilities to help people. Iru Kaku was a distinguished anthropologist and sociologist who wrote many insightful books on Indian society and its history, and undertook pioneering studies of communities displaced by development projects. My father's lifelong passion was the cooperative movement, and from a young age, he worked towards promoting cooperative banking. When India became independent, he visualized further opportunities and began exploring the possibility of establishing cooperative sugar mills. This bore fruit, and I remember, at the age of 6, sitting with him on the floor, partaking of meals in the houses of farmers of Ahmednagar district where India's first cooperative sugar mill started operating at Pravaranagar in 1949. Baba came from Nagpur, but I was always fascinated by Goa because our family was originally from a village called Katode near Mandre in Pedne Taluka in North Goa. Family legend has it that around 1850, my ancestor Dhondo Gadgil had escaped from the rear door of his hut with his wife, son and a buffalo when officials had arrived to confiscate his property. He had then migrated to Vidarbha, where his descendants had prospered as well-educated professionals. My grandfather, who was a lawyer, had acquired a 10-hectare farm just outside Nagpur city. Baba inherited this farm and continued to run it, although he had by then moved to Pune. So he was a farmer himself and entirely at home with the farming community. On our farm was a 1.3-hectare orchard of the famous Nagpur oranges. There was also a small patch of sugarcane and a flower garden. The rest of the land was devoted to the cultivation of jowar. I doubt we got much money out of it because Baba paid those employed to work on the farm generously and they themselves consumed all the jowar that was grown. But the farm, with its rustic cottage, was a source of great enjoyment for all of us. There was no electricity or water supply, but a big open well from which water was drawn by hand or with bullock power. We spent our Diwali and Christmas vacations on the farm, where I enjoyed eating fresh, tasty oranges throughout the day. I even tried my hand at ploughing the fields and driving our bullock cart when we went to the city to get supplies. I enjoyed learning the regional dialect, sweeter than the Pune Marathi. That is how I became passionately interested in the rich diversity of our cultures. Irukaku's daughter, Gauri, was 3 months older than me, and we were constant companions. We jointly inspected the bone needles, flint knives, and many other artifacts that Irukaku brought back from archaeological digs. When I was 9, Irukaku decided to spend a month at Kodagu in Karnataka on anthropological fieldwork. She was going to take Gauri along and suggested I join them, see a new culture and keep Gauri company. My school teachers at first refused me leave because I would lose a precious month of schoolwork, but Baba assured them that he would take care of my studies as he was determined I should not miss this invaluable new experience. So I was able to witness Irukaku taking head measurements and gathering a whole range of other information from a wide diversity of people of different religious and caste affiliations and economic strata. The whole exercise was conducted on a shoestring budget. In fact, Irukaku had conducted much of her research without any funding whatsoever. She wrote a monograph on kinship terminology and marriage practices in different communities of Maharashtra, all the data for which was collected by her going on bus journeys to different parts of Maharashtra. Sitting down in the bus or at any place in a village or town, she would strike up a conversation with whoever was around and collect precious data. I recalled this when I was at Harvard, as most of my fellow Indian students decided to stay on in the United States. They warned me, "You will never get adequate funds for research in India." I replied that I was going to undertake field-oriented research. Irukaku had taught me that this was possible with practically no funds at one's disposal. On that trip of Kodagu, we encountered wild elephants and saw the large sacred grove of Talakaveri at the origin of the Kaveri River. Elephants and sacred groves have fascinated me all my life since. Part of Lokmanya Tilak's bungalow, at the top of Sinagar, the most famous of Shivaji's hill forts, was given on rent to people known to the family. Every summer, my parents and I would spend 2 weeks in the bungalow. There were no roads up the hill at that time, and I eagerly looked forward to climbing the steep slopes to relive the tale of how Tanaji clambered up an impossibly steep rock face by holding on to a rope tied to the tail of Yashavanti, a monitor lizard, to wrest control of the fort from the Mughals. Sinagar's slope.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?